ओम हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदाशिवसमारंभां व्यासशंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम सी दिस वर्क कंसिस्टिंग ऑफ 12 वर्सेस हैज वन ऑफ शंकरास आदिशंकर भगवत्पाद डिसिपल्स as the author. And Shankara Bhagavatpada gave the name Hastamalakacharya. Hastamalakacharya is a name given by Adishankara Bhagavatpada to that one particular disciple. And the stotram, this work consisting of his 12 verses composed by that but that disciple is called Hastamalaka Stotram. And Adishankara Bhagavatpada himself wrote commentary on this stotram, which is called Hastamalakiya Bhashyam. There is a story. The story goes like this. When Shankara Bhagavatpada once was on his Digvijayam. He was visiting all the places, going walking to every corner of India. And there's a place called Shribali, near Mukambika, Kollur. Near Kollur, there's a place called, a village called Shribali, interior village like how in Kumbakonam, Manjakudi, there is a place called Shribali, village called Shribali in that Kollur. Near Kollur, in Karnataka. So there were this the Brahmin community living, the people. Very religious, very highly spiritually inclined, very pious, highly righteous people in that village. And then one particular couple, we don't see the names and details. It seemed they had a child. They didn't have children for very long, and they had a child. And that lady always used to take the child to the pond or rivers nearby to fetch water every day. And it seems there was one Mahatma sitting on the bank of the river meditating. And this lady who used to go every day left her child, this boy, near that Mahatma, just on the shore, then in the bank. And she used to go to fetch water. But this person was in meditation. Actually, he did not watch the child crawling. And this must have been crawling child. He just crawled and fell to the river in water. He died. But then the lady quickly, when she filled her pot and she turned and saw, she saw the child's body, and then she suddenly was just crying. And then her noise really, her cry really disturbed this Mahatma who was in meditation. He opened his eyes and saw this lady crying. But he understood. For him, a very natural thing. Some jiva came in this form. Parabdha is over. Passed away. Nimittam is what? Falling into the water is the nimittam. The time is gone, over. It's gone, passed. But even though he's a Mahatma, he understood the pain of the mother. At the same time, he understood the whole situation. But as a highly compassionate person, he didn't know how to convince that lady or make her understand the fact. See, it is easy for anybody to accept the fact as a fact if we can understand the fact. The problem is, understanding the fact is the involves difficulty. But she was not in a position to understand the fact. See, we must be highly relaxed and relatively pain-free mind must have to understand subtle facts. Then you can apply the knowledge of the understanding of subtle facts to accept them in certain situations. Here the situation is worst situation. She is crying. There is not the time to teach somebody, or to make her understand, to accept, make her accept. The best thing he could do to keep that lady, to console her is, he just, because of the siddhi powers he had, he could leave his body and enter into this child's body. See, Vedanta Shastram or any Vedanta Gyaha, the great men of vision or wisdom definitely will never recommend, encourage, support or talk highly of the Siddhi Shaktis. Because whether you are endowed with the Siddhis, some superhuman powers, whether you don't have, doesn't matter, still you are bound. Your freedom is only in knowledge. Which means, without the wisdom, without the knowledge of the truth, whatever powers we have, powerfully we are ignorant. Ignorantly we are powerful. Isn't it? Or, as without any powers we are ignorant. So ignorant means that's all. Ignorant means you are bound. You are as good as any other ordinary human being. With the powers, you are ordinary person. Without powers, others are ordinary people. Because it is the knowledge. It is the lack of ignorant knowledge. Therefore, Shastram doesn't recommend, doesn't talk highly of the accomplishment of Siddhis. But this Mahatma, who also had this Siddhi powers, so he used that power temporarily, that he left his body and he entered into this baby's body. So baby Sukshma, the child's Sukshma had left. Mahatma Sukshma is in child's Sthulam. Sthulam belongs to the child, but a Sukshma which had entered into the child's sthulam is a Mahatma Sukshma. So what about the mind? The mature person's mind in a child's body. So the child was alive. For that lady, she can't define, oh, my child has gone. The sthulam alone is my child's body is here, my child has gone. This child, the one who is inside this is not my child, this old man's child, Sukshma. She couldn't differentiate all that. But point what I'm saying. So she just picked up her child, she thanked Bhagavans, and she picked up the child and went back. But the problem is, Mahatma could not behave like a child. Mahatma in a child's body. So as he was growing up, they didn't know much about this child. It's a very mature behavior. very mature behavior, not ordinarily mature, very highly mature behavior, which means not craving for food, not fighting, not quarreling, not playing around, not interested in any of all the things that naturally children should be interested in. This child was not interested, not at all interested. So this child was different from other children of his age. In fact, he could not even interact much. What is there to interact for a Mahatma? Anything people talk about must have been nonsense for him, isn't it? I can feel that sometimes. Even for me, I find it so boring to be in the company of sometimes people. I manage out of now. I respect for other people. I just associate myself. Otherwise, it is too much. I'm physically present amidst them. At the same time, mentally I'll get off. I switch off. It's a very bad thing, but I can't help sometimes. It happens. But imagine such a Mahatma. Even for us, it's like that. No, even we cannot stand sometimes, isn't it? So, what to talk of with Mahatma? So he was completely, he was switched off. So he was not interacting much. When you do not interact much with the world, the world will pursue you differently. They'll think you're dumb, or you're insane, or they think the child with all sort of problems, underprivileged child, something, whatever they think. So the parents also are very, very, very worried. This boy is physically growing. He's growing and he became 13-year-old. But still doesn't the same. 5-year-old, 6-year-old is okay. 7 is okay. After 10, 11, 12, 13, as a teen, still he was the same. They worried about this child. Then they heard about Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada's travel all over. And they took him to meet. They took this child to meet Shankara Bhagavatpada. And any Mahatma can see another Mahatma. Because the depth of his vision, he can understand the depth of the vision of other Mahatma. So the parents were worried and then they were lamenting about this boy. But Shankara Bhagavatpada wanted to make the world understand that he was not an ordinary person. Because somebody went and asked, who are you? This person wouldn't have opened his mouth and recited these verses. If at all he recited these verses, others wouldn't have understood. And nobody had, nobody can think of asking somebody, who are you? No, they won't ask. Well, Shankara Bhagavatpada only could ask him like that. So, he asked, Kastumbala. This is what I read in another book, okay? The Shingeri book. Kimevam Jadavat Pravruttaha. Who are you, a boy? What is this? Why do you behave like an inert matter? And this boy who was behaving like a dumb person all the time, suddenly opened his mouth and started pouring out the verses. And each verse, these 12 verses, had the condensed essence of Vedanta. And then Shankara Bhagavatpada said, he is a Mahatma. Anyway, now he has to be with me hereafter. He has no job here with you. So he made people understand what he was. So made parents accept his situation. Then he took him back with him. Then he became one of the important disciples of Shankara Bhagavatpada, and Shankara Bhagavatpada gave him the name that time, because the 12 verses he spontaneously poured out had the essence of Vedanta condensed so easily, enjoyable verses. And he thought, how easy it is to hold a gooseberry in your hand. You all went and picked some gooseberries. The gooseberry. It is easy to hold a gooseberry in your hand, isn't it? It's not difficult. Can you hold pumpkin like this? No. You cannot hold pumpkin like this. But easy to hold a gooseberry. So, as it is easy to hold a gooseberry in your hand, so easily he brought in the Vedantic vision in his 12 verses. It is as easy to understand his Vedantic vision through his verses as holding the gooseberry in your hand. So hastaha means hand, and amalakam means this gooseberry. Hasta malakam means ullangai nellikani in Tamil we say. Ullangai nellikani pola. Hasta malakam means ullangai nellikani. So he was given a name, Hasta Malaka Acharya, the teacher, the great man of wisdom, who could express his vision effortlessly in 12 verses. Isn't it? Like how one can hold a gooseberry effortlessly in one's hand. So he was given the name Hastamalakacharya. Usually, the disciples write commentary for the guru's work. Here, different thing, situation. Adi Shankara Bhagavad Pada wrote commentary on these 12 verses. And that bhashyam is specially known as Hastamalakiya Bhashyam. Because Shankara Bhagavad Pada asked him, "Who are you?" Somebody, "Who are you? Hello." If we say, I'm so-and-so, we would have jumped and told as a child, or told like that, isn't it? But this child is not very serious boy. He didn't say, "I'm son of so-and-so, daughter of so-and-so, I was born this thing, they're my parents." No. Straight away, this person did not have any problem. He did not need to work very hard to see what all the components which constitute the individual. In the individual, how to know, I is one of the subtlest aspects, which forms part of the individual, the whole, and that had distinguished his I is not even gross or subtler, it's a subtlest and the highest form of manifestation of the truth. He just distinguished I already. For him, very clear. He had never problem. Not only he distinguished, he knows that I, essentially, is the reality, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, one and the only reality, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, therefore implied by the term Atma, and which alone is there as the innermost essence of everything here. So he straight away said what? "I am Atma." "Who are you?" "I am Atma." Which means, that does not mean he did not have relative identity. Relatively, we all should have identity. Relative identity with the body, mind, and complex is okay. The problem is, what should be relatively identified with is taken to be the absolute identity. That is the problem. If we say, no, I don't have relative identity also, I only absolute identity, I'm always Atma, means what? Then you should not eat, no sleep, you should not travel, nothing can be done. So we should be very careful, isn't it, in stating things. But Hastamalakacharya, the question was asked, "Who are you?" Who are you means what I is the question. And the question what I is means you have to, you know, I has to be distinguished and I has to be resolved in its swarupam. Not simply cognitively you must have done it. And then this person is all the time, Hastamalakacharya must have been the person who was always reveling in the clear vision of the self being Atma. Therefore he could say Aham Atma. And he also, in each verse, the last sentence ends with this, like this, Aham Atma, Aham Atma, Aham Atma. Aham Brahma Asmi can be otherwise said to be Aham Atma Asmi. I am the all-pervasive self. I am the all-pervasive self, reality, implied by the term Atma. I am Atma, he says. And which sort of Atma? So for sake of others, he makes the complete verse. Where he, you know, really says, what is that Atma? What is the, I am Atma means, what is that Atma? The truth of I. That he is the explains in this each verse. Is it clear? So we'll do this. So before we going, Acharya Uvacha, say. Kastvam Shisho. Kasya. Kuto Siganta. Kim Namate. Tvam Kutaha Agatosi. Etan Mayoktam. Vada. Cha. Arbhaka. Tvam. Matpritaye. Priti Vardhanosi. Earlier what I read was Kastvam Bala Kim Evam Jadavat Pravruttaha. Kastvam Bala is enough. Kaha Tvam Kastvam Bala, O boy, who are you? That's all he asked in Sringeri publication. Kim Evam in this manner Jadavat, like the inert matter, pravartate. Kimevam jadavat pravartate. Pravartase must be pravartate. Why his behavior is like inert matter? This is the question he asked there. But here some they added the questions. Sometimes people add, okay? I don't know. This not, anyway, information is very simple. Not that thing, we'll see it. So, kaha tvam shisho. There I said the word bala. Shisho means, oh, baby actually. So, kaha tvam shisho. Shishuhu. Shisho is vocative shisho, ukaranda shabda, like guru. Who are you? Oh, baby. That's the meaning actually. Not child. Anyway, kasya. Kasya means whose. Whom do you belong to? Whom do you belong to? Whose child are you? Kasya putrahatvam, that's the meaning, isn't it? Next question. Kutaha ganta asi. Kutaha asi ganta means, kutaha ganta asi means, kutaha gachasi. Where do you go? Which means, what is it you want to achieve in this world? Where are you going? Kim nama te. Te means tava. Tava nama kim. What is your name? Tvam Kutaha agataha asi. Where have you come from? Tvam kutaha agataha asi. Where have you come from? Kutaha means kutaha is a indeclinable word. Kutaha means from where. From where? Agataha has agataha is a participle. No. So kutaha agataha asi. So where have you come from? Etat maya uktam vada. Vada is imperative. Please tell me. Tvam vada. You tell me. Tell. You tell. You tell what? You give the answer. You tell means you give the answer for what has been asked by me. Maya uktam. What has been said by me. Etan maya uktam. Please answer my questions. That's the meaning. Ennal ketkapattadarku badhil sol. That's the meaning. Tvam vada, you tell, you give an answer to what has been said by me or asked by me. You answer my questions. That's the main thing. He is calling, hey Arbhaka. Hey Arbhaka. Arbhakaha, also another word for Balaha. Arbhakaha also means child. Hey Arbhaka, a boy also. Hey Arbhaka, a child. For my, I want to know. You may not tell other people. I want to know what you are. Just for my sake. For my sake. You tell. For my own interest. Now, I'm asking you. Please tell me answer my questions. Not for others' sake. Okay? Tell for my sake. Please answer my questions for my sake, not for others. Mat preetaye, yen virupathirkaha. Not love, okay? The people all translate literally. Not for my love or anything. Mat preetaye means what? Just for my, out of my interest, personal interest, I'm asking you, please let me know. Please answer your questions. Preeti vardhanaha asi. Preeti vardhanaha means I am very, very, very pleased with you. See, vivardhanaha means one who contributes for the growth. It's called vivardhanaha. One who makes, isn't it? One who contributes for the expansion, growth, is called vivardhanaha. Valara chehiravan vivardhanaha. And this Hastamalaka, as a young boy, signed for Shankara Bhagavatpada, makes him feel very pleased. So the very presence of Hastamalaka, you know, tremendously makes Shankara feel pleased. Therefore he is the pleaser. You have made me highly pleased. Preeti Vardhanaha means, oh my child, your presence has made me highly pleased. I am very pleased with you. Very, very highly pleased with you. This is the expression actually. The very literal translation is here. You have made me highly pleased. Preeti Vardhanaha asi. Which means, you are. You make me feel pleased. Therefore, please answer my questions. for my information, for my knowledge. Then Hastamalaka gives an answer. He opens his mouth and says, first he says, Naham manushyo,
Naham manushyo,
Nacha deva yaksho,
Nacha deva yaksho,
Na brahmana kshatriya vaishya shudraha, Na brahmachari,
Na brahmachari,
Na grihi,
Na grihi,
Vanastho,
Vanastho,
Bhikshurna chaham,
Bhikshurna
cha, Aham, Nijabodha
rupaha.
He does, in this question, if you see, first he says, what I is not. Then he says, what I is. This is the style of Upanishad also. Upanishad never says what the truth is not, what the Atma is directly doesn't say. Always it has to say what I am not is made very clear in Upanishads. Then if you understand what I is not, then you have distinguished I, or distinguished the I, then you understand what I is. The same style, here also the answer is, whoever has written this verses, this particular verse, unless you must, they must have seen Hastamalaka answer, giving the answer. But we don't know how it really is. But there is a verse here. It says, this is the answer given by Hastamalaka Acharya. The first thing he says, just to say, Hastamalaka Acharya had the body, was endowed with the body, is there as an individual, but for him, identity was not a all with the gross physical body. The most difficult thing is not to have identity with the physical body, isn't it? Most very difficult. And for him, the identity is not at all with the physical body. He was very objective towards the physical body. And that is implied what? What are all the identity one can have if one's identity is with the body? First of all, to say, I am a human being, you must have what? One must have identity with the physical body, first of all, to say, I am a human being, isn't it? And once you say, identity is with the physical body, you say, I am a human being, then you say what? I am, well, you know, then you can say, no, not only with his human physical body, you know, even with the subtle body, doesn't have an identity. That is what is understood when you say na devaha, na manushyaha. He says, I is not a human being. This I, which is only, yesterday this morning we saw, I, which is the first person singular pronoun, expression of the manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the of a thought, is not a whole individual human physical body. So he says what? Not a human being. I is not a human being. Even though I obtains only in the human mind, even though I obtains only in the human mind, I is not a human being. Okay. Na aham manushyaha. Okay. Then, nacha devaha nacha yakshaha. See, deva, yaksha are all celestial beings. Okay, celestial beings. Therefore he says, so there's a gradation in the celestial, levels of celestial beings. And even to have that identity with the, as a deva yaksha also, one must have identity with the sukshma, subtle body. So he says what? For him, I is not even the subtle body. So he is very clear. He says what? I'm not even a yaksha, not even a deva. I'm not any of this, the the celestial beings of different categories. No. So once I increase not with the physical body, then all this dharma, varna dharmas, isn't it? Varnashrama, varnas are based on the human physical birth. Only based on the physical birth alone, we can say what? Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, etc. Generally, we say what? I is not of any people of any varna. I does not have any varna bheda. I has no varna. I does not belong to Brahmana varna. I doesn't belong to Kshatriya varna or Shudra varna or Vaishya varna. I is not in all the Brahmanas. There is a mind. In the mind there is an I sense. In all the Kshatriyas, there cannot be a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Shudra without the I sense. Do you understand? Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So people of any varna, any class, must have what? All the people of all the classes must have I sense. There can't be people with I sense, but this I sense doesn't belong to any varna. I sense has no varna. I sense by itself, I itself is what? I is not a Brahmana, I is not a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Is it clear? I think you all need a second cup of coffee or what? Okay. So what about the, okay, doesn't belong to any varna, means what about the ashrama? Isn't all the human beings have to go through all the ashramas? All the human beings, all the people who are supposed to go through all the ashramas, all the stages of life, as a student life, a stage in one's life, as a student, as a householder, as a vanaprasthi, as a sannyasi, as an renunciate. Every individual has to go through all these different stages of life. And in every individual who has to go through the stages of life, there is I sense. I sense must be there in every individual who has to go through all these ashramas. So people of all the ashramas must have I sense. But I sense itself what now? Doesn't go through any ashramas. I sense has no ashrama. No varna, no ashrama. I sense is not a Brahmana, not a Brahmachari, not a Vaishya, not a Grihastha, not a Vanaprastha, not a Shudra, not a Sannyasi. Is it clear what I'm saying? Nice to understand this. All this belong to what now? But can there be a Brahmachari or a Grihastha or a Vanaprastha or a Sannyasi who does not have I sense? Tell me. If there is a Brahmachari or a Grihastha without I sense, what will happen? There cannot be. Without the I sense, identity itself is not possible. It will be like an animal then, okay? If somebody without I sense is a Brahmachari or Grihastha, means all the animals will have what? Animals also will have varna dharma, varnas and ashramas. Got it what I'm saying? You have to think all these things. It's true. Without I sense, there cannot be something called varnas and ashramas. I am a Kshatriya, I am a Brahmana, I am a Vaishya, I am a Shudra, I am a Brahmachari, I am a Sannyasi, I am a Vanaprastha, I am a householder, isn't it? So, people of all the ashramas, people who are in different ashramas, in different stages of life, in all of them there must be I sense. And people of all the varnas, all the different classes of society, there must be I sense, definitely. In everyone there must be I sense. But I sense by itself does not have any varna or ashrama. Why? Because essence is a distinct. Essence is just I is the first person singular pronoun, which is an expression of the manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought, which rises, remains and resolves. How many times do you say this? Don't you feel bored? Okay. Na brahmachari, na grihi, na vanastaha, bhikshuhu. So what he says? So brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudraha. Means what? He puts all the people of all the classes together. He says, I is not any of this. I doesn't have any varna. I doesn't belong to any people of any varna. Then therefore, na brahmachari, na grihi, na vanastaha, na bhikshuhu. Bhikshuhu stands for sannyasi. Why? Because sannyasi is known by the word bhikshuhu, which means sannyasi does not have a cook, okay? Does not have a kitchen of his own, his or her own. Therefore, cannot cook. Therefore, go and ask for alms from people who have kitchen, who have everything. Okay, that's why bhikshuhu. So, na brahmachari. So, in a sannyasi, the essence is there or not? In a bhikshuhu, the sannyasi renunciate, who's supposed to live a life on alms, is there essence or not? In a sannyasi, there must be essence. Can there be a sannyasi without essence? No. The sannyasi has essence. That is why the whole sannyasa lifestyle itself is for what? To resolve it. If essence is not a sannyasi, then he doesn't need to resolve it. Isn't it? Sannyasi has the essence. The whole sannyasa ashrama itself is to resolve it. He doesn't have no problem of resolving it. What about the vanaprasthi? Of course, there cannot be somebody called vanaprasthi who is given to certain life without the essence. There cannot be even a grihastha ashrama without the essence, and who has to perform all forms of rituals, all forms of karma. Grihastha means he has religious duties, secular duties, mundane activities, all forms of social obligated duties. My God, I, he has to say all the time, how can there be a grihastha without essence? What about brahmachari? Therefore, in the people of all the stages, people in all the stages of life have essence, but essence itself is what? Is not a brahmachari, not a grihastha, not a bhikshu, not a sannyasi, not anything. Okay, if I is not any of the varnas, doesn't belong to any of the varnas, I doesn't have any, does not go through any stages of life, if I doesn't have, I is not any of the beings here, not a human being, not a celestial being, neither a celestial being, then what is this I? What is this I which is not anything but which is in everything? What is this I which is not anything but which obtains in all the people, all the people? In Yaksha there must be I, in Deva there must be I, in Manushya there must be I, in a Brahmachari there must be I, in a Grihastha there must be I, in a Sannyasi there must be essence. In a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, people of all the classes, there must be essence. But this essence doesn't have what? No, anything. What is it essence which is there in every being? In all the human beings, of all the varnas, who go through all the stages, people of all the ashramas and all the varnas, the essence is that. What is that essence? Which is, used by all the people to refer to themselves, one's own self. What is essence? That essence, after thought, is nija bodha rupaha. Aham nija bodha rupaha. Bodharupaha. That I is what? Is in the form of knowledge. I is of the nature of pure knowledge. Pure knowledge, which is the self, one's own self. Nija means one's own. Not Tamil Nijam. Okay? Nija means one's own. Bodha means knowledge. Rupa means form. I is of the nature of pure knowledge. One's real self. This I am, this, that's not, this wrong actually. This translation is wrong. Translation is wrong, okay? Aham nijabodha rupaha means I is the form, the real form of I is what? Formless knowledge. That's why I say the real form of I is what? Formless knowledge. So I is of the nature of, here the word form should be taken, rupam should be taken as swarupam. I is of the nature of knowledge, the awareness.
It should be of the nature of pure knowledge.
I is of the nature of pure knowledge, the real self. Then object real self, the real self. Nija means one's own. I is one's real, the pure knowledge, one's real nature. I is of the nature of pure knowledge, one's real nature, one's own nature. See, sometimes you have to write a lot in English to express it correctly. No, I tell you,
you dual.
See, na aham manushyaha, na cha is an, and nor am I devaha or yakshaha, and yaksha.
That refers to sukshma, you said, no? That refers to sukshma.
What I'm saying, deva yaksha means, even to have, to be a deva, one must have eye sense. And then I sense must have what? Definitely sukshma. Not deva, yaksha, we can't have human form.
Yeah.
There's a different form.
Yeah.
We say subtle. So which means he does not have identity even with the sukshma.
Understand? Implies
sukshma. And who is in any celestial being also. Which means, so even as a deva, yaksha, also what? Still you are a, You one may be superior to human being, but still you are a limited being. There is no freedom. That is why even if at all we had any interest in becoming a deva or yaksha, we can drop that interest. That's what. See, even having a celestial form also will not make us something absolute. Still it is some gradation, that's all. We don't even know about it. Only Shastram talks about it. So he just says that, which means this person is very clear, isn't it? Nacha naham manushyaha. So na aham manushyaha. Nacha deva yakshau. Deva yakshau, nacha devaha, nacha yakshaha. Na brahmana, na brahmanaha, na kshatriyaha, na vaishyaha, na shudraha. Na brahmachari, na grihi, na vanastaha, na bhikshuhu. Na cha aham, na cha. Then aham nijabodharupaha. Aham nijabodharupaha. I am of the nature of pure knowledge. That's the meaning. Pure knowledge, which is real, one's own real nature. see, what I did in the morning makes it very easy. I don't need to do a lot here. Simply don't need to think, isn't it? Now he says how, even though he made it very clear, in other words, a beautiful verse are coming, we'll see it. What is that Atma? What is that I? Okay? That I is essentially what? Just as wave is water, I is nothing but the all-pervasive reality implied by the term Atma. Isn't it? So what is that Atma? He is going to say that. Nimit, okay, I memorized as a young girl like this, so I get that old tune comes out, I don't know how to do it again. Nimittam manaschakshuradi pravrittau nirastakhilopadhirakashakalpa ravilloka cheshta nimittam yathaya sanityopalabdhiswarupohamatma ahamatma ahamatma. We don't need to sing like this, okay? Because for me to memorize, she is a young girl, that's why. Nimittam manaschakshuradi pravruttau. Nimittam manaschakshuradi pravruttau. Nimittam manaschakshuradi pravruttau.
Nimittam manaschakshuradi pravruttau.
Nirastakhilopadhirakashakalpah.
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 Ravirlokacheshtanimittam yathayah. Ravirloka cheshtani mittam yathayah. Ravirloka cheshtani mittam yathayah.
Ravirloka cheshtani mittam yathayah.
Sanityopalabdhiswarupohamatma.
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 Nimittam manaschakshuradi pravruttau.
Nimittam manaschakshuradi pravruttau.
Nimittam manaschakshuradi pravruttau.
Nimittam manaschakshuradi pravruttau.
Nirastakhilopadhirakashakalpah.
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 Ravirlokacheshtanimittam yathayah.
Ravirlokacheshtanimittam yathayah.
Ravirlokacheshtanimittam yathayah.
Ravirlokacheshtanimittam
yathayah. Sanityopalabdhiswarupohamatma.
Sanityopalabdhiswarupohamatma.
Sanityopalabdhiswarupohamatma. Okay. Let me tell you first. Loka cheshta. Okay, loka cheshta. Lokaha means this entire objective, material, objective universe. The entire inert, material, objective universe is known by the term lokaha. I tell you, the one word lokaha implies so much. You know why? Because there's a dhatu. Look. So, lokanam, alokanam or alochanam. Luch, lok, we get both. So, lokaha means lokhyate iti lokaha. That which is seen, that which is perceived is loka. Anything which is perceived, anything which is objectified is what? The world. Finished. One word is enough. So anything which is objectified, perceived is loka means you have to include your I thought also. I sense also. Isn't it? Sense here, I'm talking about the thought. Ahankara also had to include. The loka only. So the entire objective universe. And when you say the loka, immediately it must be of the nature of inertness. Objectified, perceived, known means what? Yadya drishyam tatta jadam. It is inert only. So this entire...
I sense it inert.
No. Yeah. It by itself is... Because the eyes does not know. Anything perceived is what? Matter. So, this entire inert material objective universe, the lokaha, what happened now? No, cheshtate, it functions, yang hirade, ulaham yang hirade, the whole universe is what now? Functions. The universe functions. But here, cheshta means functioning, the noun that is. Cheshtate verb, cheshta. So for the functioning of this inert material objective universe, how can inert material objective, how can anything inert function by itself? Functioning implies what? Functions itself implies what? Functions means there is this life. Functions, the very word function, implies the life, implies the movement, implies the emotion, implies the move, isn't it? Therefore, lokaha cheshtate, the world functions, ulaham yengahirade. So, loka cheshta, for the functioning of this inert material objective universe, is what? And also what everything here is of the nature of inertness, of is it, everything is opaque here. But not only that, the life is needed here. So ravihi nimittam bhavati. Loka cheshta nimittam, ravihi nimittam bhavati. Nimittam means what? It is the sun. Who is the activator of this universe? For this entire universe, for the activation of this universe, sun alone is instrumental, isn't it? Without sun, the universe cannot be activated. Ravihi lokaha cheshtate, for which ravihi nimittam bhavati. Ravihi means the sun. Just as sun is instrumental in the activation of this universe. Sun is the activator of the universe. The universe cannot exist by itself, cannot be live by itself, cannot be activated by itself without the sun. Which means the sun has to rise, sunlight must be there, sun's energy must be given, energy must be converted into all the forms of energies Only then something called the world life is possible. Isn't it? We know that very well. The world functions means all living beings are alive here. Living beings are alive means what? Living beings includes what? Including human beings. All the beings are alive. Beings are alive means they breathe, their functions are happening, means they have energy. They're energetic. Energetic means they're eating food. The food means what? Plants. The plants, how can they have food from the energy from the plants? Because the solar energy is converted into plant energy. Plant energy is converted into all the energies. Thereby all the living beings survive. All the living beings survive because of the sun. And what does sun do? Does sun need to do anything?
No.
Mere presence of sun. Sun does, why nimittam he says, sun nimittam, the word nimittam implies without doing any action. By its mere presence, sannidhi matrena, sun just by being present, by its mere presence, sun contributes for the activation of the life, the universe, the world, for the functioning of the universe, for the life of all the beings. The sun contributes for the functioning of the universe means sun contributes for the activation of the lives of all the living beings. Without doing any karma, mere presence, sannidhi matrena, sarvam prakashayati, sarvam irayati. That is why sun is called what? I do not know whether you remember my Mundaka Upanishad class, I told you the meaning of the word Suryaha. Remember the meaning? Oh my God, makes me feel very sad. Every time I told you so many times why sun is called Pusha, why sun is called Suryaha. Okay. Sushtu irayati iti Suryaha. Poshayati iti Pusha. Poshayati means what? Energizes. No, contributes for, makes them healthy. Irayati means energizes. So, the sun enlivens all the beings through energizing, isn't it? By energizes, enlivens all the beings. How? When I say sun is the enlivener of all the living beings, if I say energizer of all the living beings, means it is not like saying the eater of the food. It is not like that, which means even though I use the term enlivener, energizer, etc., that there is no action on the part of the sun, that is the very nature of the sun. Energizing, enlivening is the very nature of the sun. How? By its mere presence of the sun contributes for the energizing of all the beings, enlivening of all the beings, there will be functioning of the universe, activation of the living beings and activation of the universe. Isn't it? So here we use a different word. So ravihi loka cheshta nimitta, loka cheshta nimittam yatha bhavati. Just as sun by its mere presence contributes for the activation of the life of all the beings in the world, they will contribute the functioning of the universe, activates the universe. In the same way, tatha, tatha, okay? Tatha he says. In the same way, now he has to go to this nimittam, the same way there's something else which also contributes for the functioning of all the subtle and gross bodies. Now you have to say here, manaha. See the now manaha, mind, antahkaranam. So chakshuradi, chakshuhu means seeing power. Chakshuhu, one indriyam, stands for all the five sense powers. And also about all the 10 powers you can have. One power stands for all the 10 powers. Chakshuradi means kan mudaliya. So we can say what now? Chakshuradi, manaha, chakshuradi. Chakshuradi. So you can say all the subtle powers, the physiological functions, and the antahkaranam, the entire sukshma shariram. We know very well the sthula shariram is alive because of the presence of the conscious subtle body. When the conscious sukshma, when the conscious mind leaves the physical body, this physical body becomes what? Dead. The conscious mind leaves the physical body, the conscious body becomes dead body. Isn't it? But what is that? The same question came what? Kena? Kena opened his first question is like that. He was very clear. He did not ask, what is it that makes the subtle gross body, you know? What is it which makes the gross body alive? He didn't ask. He knew very well. Gross body is alive because the presence of the subtle body. But if something which leaves the physical body, then the gross body, then the this gross body becomes dead. So he asked the question. Kene shitam preshitam manaha, the question is coming. But here he makes it very clear. It is very clear, the sukshma is always conscious. Especially the mind. Is it? The mind is ever conscious mind. The mind never becomes what? Inert mind. Mind, even though mind by itself is inert, mind is always conscious mind. But the presence of the conscious mind makes the physical body alive and conscious. But what is that which makes the mind conscious? Because mind by itself is what? Of the nature of inertness. Subtle, this we will see in the following class anyway. Mind by itself is of the nature of inertness. Why? Because it's a product of the Shakti, it's a product of the matter. Mind is a material product, therefore it is of the nature of inertness. What about the powers? All the 10 powers are products of the matter. Therefore, they are also what? They are subtle, that's okay, but still they are matter. Not only physical body is matter, all these mind and powers are also material products, therefore they are all of the nature of inertness. Of course, physiological functions. Therefore, the entire sukshma, manaha chakshuradi, together implies what? All the subtle factors which indwell the gross body, especially the mind, isn't it? Or inert material products, but how do they become conscious? How do they become sentient? How do they become, isn't it? They're inert material products, but they're functioning all the time. And because of their functions, the physical body becomes alive and activated. Therefore, what is that which makes the inert, insentient mind conscious and sentient? What is that? Because of the presence of which the entire subtle body becomes active and alive and conscious and sentient. So he says that again, manaha chakshuradi pravruttau pravruttihi. See, pravrittihi, actually activation, activity, the function. So the activation of the mind and all the subtle powers, all the subtle aspects which constitute subtle body. What is nimittam? Nimittam means what is that because of the presence of which, because the blessing of which the entire inert material products, the subtle aspect, conscious subtle body becomes activated. What is that? Okay, therefore we said that is Atma. So he says, Manaha Chakshuradi Pravruttau, also Nimittam. What is that which contributes for the activation of the subtle body by making it conscious and sentient? Isn't it? Just by its presence, by its mere presence. What is that? That is Atma. So how he says that? And that Atma is also what? Nirastha Akhila Upadhihi. Nirastha Akhila Upadhihi means what now? Atma has no Upadhi. You know the meaning of the word Upadhi, isn't it? Body is an Upadhi, mind is an Upadhi, pranas are Upadhi, sense organs are Upadhis. All the abode of enjoyment, instruments of enjoyment, bhoga ayatanam, bhoga sadhanani, are what now? The karma indriyani, jnana indriyani, the pancha pranaha, manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha, everything is what? Upadhi. Why are they all called Upadhis? Upadhiyate anena iti. Iti upadhihi. See, upadhihi is a very interesting word, you know. Upa means samipe, near. Samipe stitva, remaining inseparably in close proximity, that which falsely transfers its attributes, dharmas, is called upadhi. Suppose something is very far, it cannot transfer its attributes. Isn't it? It must be inseparably obtaining closest proximity. Falsely transfers its attributes is called upadhi. Really, it cannot transfer these attributes, but falsely. Means as though. That's called upadhi. Suppose always we use examples. The traditional example is what? Japakusumam. Isn't it? Japakusum means those days only one japakusum, red color hibiscus. Nowadays all these hybrid varieties of flowers are available. Any flower for that matter, why japakusum only? Any flower for that matter. You put all, cut all the flowers and put them in a glass container. See them from outside. The glass container, which doesn't have any color of its own, looks colorful. The crystal clear glass container looks colorful, isn't it? Because of the flowers contained in the container. Which means the flowers are upadhi for the glass container. Why? If you take the, if you go closely and then take and see, the glass kind of remains colorless. But it looks as though it has become colorful. Which means the color flowers, because of the closest proximity, isn't it? Inseparably with the, remaining with the container, they have falsely transferred their colors to the glass container. So anything which transfers its attributes, dharmas, to another object, which is in close proximity, inseparably there, is called upadhi. And here the physical body is an upadhi. So for the glass container, the flowers are upadhis. And here the for Atma, the essence, for the essence, the physical body is upadhi, mind is upadhi, every thought is upadhi, every emotion is upadhi, the sense, all indriyani are upadhi, jnanendriyani are upadhi, pranas are upadhis, Because all their limitations, all their dharmas are superimposed upon I. Isn't it? Atma. They were upadis. That is why we can have expressions, all the notions. I am fat. Means what? Body's fatness is superimposed upon attribute to what? I. Is I fat? I white? No. I is not tall. I is not fat. I is not thin. I is not Australian. I is not English. I is not Indian. I is not Hindu, Christian, Muslim. Isn't it? But in everything there's I is there. So when you say anything, it's all what? No. Therefore body is upadhi. It's all upadhis. Therefore he says, this Atma has no upadhis. It is simple language, okay? Swamiji always says, make it very clear and use the lucid language so that, because it does not cause any ambiguity. Because what is important is, the vision has to be communicated, isn't it? Atma, what is Atma? The absolute reality which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, arrived at as the Swarupam of I, that Atma is what? Nirastha Akhila Upadhihi. Is free from all. Nirastha means free from all the upadhis. Atma is no upadhis. There cannot be I-sense without the upadhi. There cannot be upadhi without the I-sense. Understand? But Atma is no upadhis. Therefore, nirastha akhila upadhihi. One adjective for Atma. Manaschakshuradi pravruttau nimittam yaha. Nirastha akhila upadhihi. Number two. Then akasha kalpaha. Number three. Akasha kalpaha. Kalpaha means sadrushaha. Akasha kalpaha sadrushaha. Akashaha sadrushaha. Akashaha means asamantat kashate iti akashaha. That which shines everywhere is called space. And what is that? No, in which the very space shines. In fact, Atma is also known by the word akasha. Akashaha means what? See, kashate. Kash is the dhatu. Where you get the verb kashate. Even kashana, kashate means coughs also, coughing. That's a kashate. That's why this TB is called kashanoi. Okay? Those days, only lung. Nowadays we have TB has gone everywhere, all over. Okay, that's a different thing. Kashanoi, Sanskrita shabda. Kashavyadhi. Anyway, but here different meaning. Kashate means shines. Prakashate, prakashena kashate. Asamantat kashate. So akashaka means what? That which shines everywhere, all pervasively is what? Space. Is it okay now? Are you tired of listening? Okay. Asamantat kashate iti akashaka. But, so that, what is that which is all pervasive like this space? Which pervades even the space. Atma is that which pervades like the space, but which pervading the space also, which shines everywhere like the space, is what? Atma. That which is as pervasive as, which is like pervasive, all pervasive like the space. In fact, we shouldn't say all pervasive like the space, which pervades, which is all pervasive like the space, but pervading the very all pervasive space. Which pervades the all pervasive space is what? Atma. Therefore, akasha kalpahami, which is all pervasive. All pervasive like the space. Akasha kalpaha. So, now three words, okay? So, nirastha akila upadhihi akasha kalpaha. This is the Atma which is free from all the upadis. and which is all pervasive like the space. And this Atma is the activator of the inert subtle aspects which constitute the mind. Activator of the subtle aspects means what? Not by doing something, not by its action, by its mere presence. Therefore, nimittam. The presence of the Atma itself is what? The contributes for the activation of the subtle aspects which constitute the subtle body. Like what? Just as the presence of the sun contributes for the enlivening and energizing of all the beings, that contributes for the functioning of the activation of the world, so also here this, the Atma, the all absolute reality, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, obtaining as innermost essence of every being, is by its mere presence contributing for the activation, the enlivening, the energizing of all the subtle aspects which constitute the subtle body. Which means this Atma is distinct from the body, mind, sense complex, distinct from everything. Is it clear now? He says, and that Atma, Nitya Upalabdhi Swarupaha. Nitya, always. Upalabdhi Swarupaha. Upalabdhi, again, also means Jnana Swarupaha. Pujya Swamiji always mentions the word Upalabdhi means Jnanam only. Even though the word Upalabdhi literally means available. Upalabdhi Swarupaha means Jnana Swarupaha. Which all, there is never a time Atma is not. The reality is one thing which is always there. Everything else other than the reality is what comes and goes. There's a time, time is not, space is not, everything else is not. The time everything comes, isn't it? So Nitya Upalabdhi Swarupaha means the self am the all pervasive, the absolute reality which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, thereby implied by the term Atma, am of the nature of pure knowledge. Ever obtaining pure knowledge. I am that. Nitya Upalabdhi Swarupaha Aham Atma. Aham Nitya Upalabdhi Swarupaha Atma. We have said that. Aham Nitya Upalabdhi Swarupaha Atma. And Yaha Manaschakshuradi Pravrtto Nimittam Yaha Nirastha Akhila Upadihi Yaha Akasha Kalpaha Saha Nitya Upalabdhi Swarupaha Aham Atma. Katham Manaschakshuradi Pravrtto Nimittam Yatha Ravihi Loka Cheshta Nimittam Loka Cheshta Nimittam Bhavati Tatha Manaschakshuradi Pravrtto Atma Nimittam Bhavati. You have to write two sentences. You can't write like in the poetry. You got understood the meanings? Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, before we go to the next verse, I'll put it the fourth order properly for you. Today I want to understand each word. Is it clear now? You understood each word. That is enough. And we put tomorrow correctly.
You have to add
Tata is implied, all implied. So you make two sentences here. Then we make it very clear.
Tata is not there.
No, Tata is not there. It's understood. Yeah. It's implied there. Yeah. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow.
Om Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.